Good morning, and welcome to the Slippery Slope of Lipids, hosted by Charlotte County's own Dr. Elizabeth Triana from the Triana Prevention Center. Today's show is a call-in show. Jot our number down, 206-1580, or toll-free, 888-441-1580. Now, here's Dr. Elizabeth Triana.
Good morning, everyone. It's so good to be here today. And good morning, Cece. I'm very happy to say that we have a special guest today.
I know. I like it. And I like the topic.
Oh, yes. Well, today, as we know, this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And we have with us Dr. Melvin Katzen, physician and owner of Southwest Florida Regional Imaging Center. And he is here to ask any questions we have. So remember, everyone, call in if you have any questions. Dr. Katzen is a pioneer in our community. He is, as I stated, the physician and owner of Southwest Florida Regional Imaging Center with offices in Port Charlotte and Punta Gorda. So since we're going to talk about breast health, Dr. Katzen, how common is breast cancer in women and in men?
Breast cancer is occurs when of all cancers that occur in women, breast cancer accounts for 20% of all cancers that occur in women. Breast cancers, fortunately, breast cancers have been on the decline over the last 50 years or so. In 1975, for instance, there were 13.5 breast cancers each year for every 100,000 women in the United States. And in 2003, the last year that we have this kind of data, there were only 4.9 cancers per 100,000 women.
Now, is that diagnosis of breast cancer or is that a death from breast cancer?
No, that is not death. That's just new cases of breast cancer.
Well, that's interesting, because my first thought when I heard you talking about was, well, we've gotten really good with breast cancer screening and women doing monthly checks and getting mammograms, that would account for a decrease in the fatality of breast cancer because it's discovered early. Is there a cause that breast cancer is occurring less?
We don't know why, but the incidence of breast cancer is going down. But it is good news that it is, in fact, going down. Other cancers may be going down. Maybe something in the environment. We just not 100% sure. I mean, I don't have any information as to the reason why the incidence, in fact, is going down. The death rate from breast cancer is more related to the stage at which the breast cancer is first detected.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if the breast cancer is detected in an early phase, we're talking about very high cure rates, 90% or better, which decrease dramatically as the cancers get larger. And that's why we're here to talk about early detection through mammography.
So, Dr. Katzen, if a woman does find a lump in their breast, what should she do first?
Well, the first thing you should do is visit your physician, because it's important that he or she examine you, and especially if they've examined you before, they can tell if there's any difference. But if you do find a lump, then you should visit your physician. Chances are your physician will then recommend you to an imaging facility to have a mammogram done, and to have any other subsequent imaging studies that might be necessary to find out what this lump is. In fact, 80% of all lumps are discovered by the patient, not by the physicians, but only about 1 out of 5 of those lumps turn out to be a malignancy, cancer.
Then that's why it's important that women learn to examine their breast. And I always tell my patients, it is not just the breast. You need to examine for any lumps under your armpits, too, when you do your breast exam. So, Dr. Katzen, then when you get a mammogram, I have a lot of patients who are really concerned about radiation.
Well, a mammogram is a radiologic imaging study, and we have been very conscientious over the last several years about reducing the dose to the breast. The current state of the art using what they call digital mammography, where there is in fact no film, has reduced the dose to approximately 20% of the lowest dose that we used to call low dose mammography. We measure radiation in various different terms. But for the average breast now, we talk about delivering about 1/10 of a rad per examination. And to put that in perspective, people who work around X-ray machines or nuclear material are allowed to have a whole body dose of 5 rads per year.
Okay, so it is very low dose.
Yeah. Very low. Now, I know one of the other things I hear women say about why they don't want to go get the mammogram is because of the pancake effect, how they flatten out the breast. Yeah. And I was wondering maybe if you could explain to women out there the importance and why that happens.
It's important for us to compress the breast so that we have the least amount of tissue for the X-ray to penetrate. Because the breast, when it's flattened, is smaller than when it's in its natural state, so to speak. And, of course, compression for some ladies is very uncomfortable, and for others it's not, depending on the makeup of their glandular tissue. The newer devices are calibrated so that we only use the amount of pressure that's absolutely necessary for us to be able to do a satisfactory examination.
And so, if I understand that correctly, then the thinner or smaller you get the tissue, the clearer the picture comes out, for so you can see better.
Correct, and the less dose you have to penetrate that much tissue.
Well, Dr. Katzen, as you know, and Cece, as a woman, our breasts are part of our sexuality, our femininity. And many women are having cosmetic surgery, mm-hmm. breast implants. What about breast implants and mammograms?
Well, breast implants don't really affect what we do in mammography, except that the technologist should know that the patient has had a breast implant. And on our questionnaire, when they meet the technologist, they should inform them that they have a breast implant. And the breast implant can be moved out of the way so that really we just see the very edge of the implant, and most of the radiation, of course, is then delivered to the breast.
Okay.
So that way it doesn't cause a problem in seeing the result of the mammogram.
It does not, no.
Do women that have implants, does it make it harder for them when they do the monthly breast exam to feel properly where they need to be feeling?
Well, I think in a way it shouldn't even make it easier, because the implants are put in behind the breast and elevate the breast tissue, mainly make it easier for the woman, make it much easier for the woman to be able to feel the glandular tissue.
Okay, remember, we want your phone calls. We want to hear your questions. As you know, this is Dr. Elizabeth Triana, and we're the Slippery Slope of Lipids, but we also discuss other medical issues. And Dr. Katzen, one of the big questions is, when is it recommended that women should start screening for and have a mammogram?
Well, screening mammography should begin depending somewhat on your family history and what your risk factors are. Now, there's people who have no family history or no known risk factors for breast cancer should start screening at age 40. Now, there's some confusion because various organizations will have different edicts as to when they want to have screening start. And remember, we're talking about screening. Screening is for asymptomatic people of low risk. People who have high risk, who have a mother or an aunt or a sister or a brother who've had breast cancer, are no longer at considered low risk, and they should start screening probably at age 30. We've seen cancers. I've seen cancers in people less than age 30 and greater than age 90. I saw a cancer 2 weeks ago in a lady 96 years old.
If you have a question for Dr. Katzen or Dr. Triana concerning breast cancer in men and women, give us a call at 206-1580 or toll-free at 888-441-1580.
Now, one of the things that you asked me before that I didn't answer, and that is what's the relationship between cancer in men and cancer in women? And it's about 1% of cancers occur in men.
So men, if they find a breast lump, they need to go see their doctor also. And that's very important for men to know. If they feel something, and it isn't just a lump, if they have a discharge coming from their breast, and women too, right, Dr. Katzen?
That's correct. Women frequently will have a bloody discharge or sort of a colored discharge, maybe not bloody. And it's really important that they see their physician. What we do is if a woman does have a discharge, we do a pap smear on it. We take a little bit of that material, we put it on a slide and send it to the pathologist to look for cells.
And we have a phone call. Good morning, caller. You're on the air with Dr. Katzen and Dr. Triana. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes, hi. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about what it means to have dense breasts and how that is affected, how that affects a mammography.
Dr. Katzen, the question was, the caller wanted to know about dense breast and how that affects the mammography. And thank you for calling.
Thank you. I'll take my answer off the air.
Dense breasts are always a problem for us because they require additional radiation. And there is a new technology out now, which is being installed in Punta Gorda as we speak, called tomosynthesis, which will allow us to create, to look at just a portion of the dense breast rather than the whole breast at one time, and hopefully be able to increase our sensitivity in being able to evaluate the dense breast. Dense breasts are a very difficult problem for us, and we need to have all the help that we can.
So this is a new service you're going to offer at your center, Dr. Katzen?
Yes, we have a machine, and it's called a tomosynthesis. And that machine will allow us to look at just a part of each breast and eventually and also be able to take the data and reconstruct the breast so that we can actually see the breast in three dimensions. And hopefully, and it's really best, that technology is best applied to women with very dense breasts.
That's great. That is really, really great that we're going to have that service here. And what, you know, a lot of my patients, they ask me, they ask about the CAD mammogram. Could you explain to everyone what is a CAD mammogram?
CAD stands for computer-aided diagnosis. And a CAD device is a device that reads the mammogram while the radiologist is looking at the mammogram and points out areas in the breast that he or she should pay particular attention to. It does not make a diagnosis. It doesn't put up a red flag. It just points out areas of the breast that meet the programmer's criteria for having an extra look.
Okay. So I want to make it clear, though, that I've been recommending, and women who are not at high risk, to have a baseline between the age of 35 and 40. I know there's been some controversy about this. And if you're at high risk, I have read that you should start even 10 years before, let's say, your mother was diagnosed with breast cancer to start screening. And then every year after the age of 40, if you don't have any history. Is that pretty clear?
That is correct. If you fall into the high risk group of people, you should be starting to screen at age 30, and then as you say, onward from then.
Okay,
caller, you're on the air. Please go ahead with your question for Dr. Triana and Dr. Katzen. Caller, you're on the air.
Charter Communications, following up on your recent.
Okay. Nothing like one of those sale pitches on the studio line. I was wondering if we could just go back to men and breast cancer. If they find a lump or they have a discharge and they go to their doctor, do they get followed up? They can't have a, they don't technically have a mammogram done, do they?
Yes, they do. We do the same mammography on men as we do on women. And it is the same criteria for the diagnosis. Yeah.
Interesting.
So, Dr. Katzen.
It is a little bit more difficult to compress a man.
Well, that's what I was wondering. That's what I was wondering. How is that done? Because they normally don't have the excess tissue, you know, a full breast like we do.
Well, they don't need compression. So there, so that we don't have as much tissue to go through.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole idea of compression is to reduce the amount of the volume of tissue that we X-ray, and a man has less, so we don't need to compress.
So in that patient, let's say a man, would you then, and many of my patients, they have an ultrasound recommended. Could you talk to us about what is the, how does that work?
An ultrasound machine is the same sort of thing you'd look at a baby, that your GYN doctor looks at a baby with. It's the same, uses the same technology as a fish finder on a boat. There's no radiation. It uses sound energy, and the different tissue qualities that are apparent on ultrasound are somewhat different than on mammography. For instance, in a mammography, we may see something that looks like a marble in the breast, but on ultrasound, it looks very clear without any internal echoes at all, and we call that a cyst. And we can be very sure that that is a cyst when we see it. And
so when do you know it's time for, they have to use the mammography, and when time to use ultrasound?
We usually will do ultrasound following mammography. If we see something on mammography, we can follow that lesion on ultrasound. And we can also use the ultrasound to biopsy a lesion, to localize a lesion so that we can put a needle in it and take a tissue sample from it. Now, some women will have cysts that get very large, and they annoy them or they hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And we can put a needle into that cyst using the ultrasound probe as a localizer and just take out the fluid that's in the cyst. And they most of the time don't come back, but sometimes they will.
Now, is that, Dr. Triana, sometimes I know before, at a certain point in our menstrual cycle, like before we start menstruation, and our breasts get tender, and I can remember as a teenager, I'd get cysts.
Right.
And they'd get, how do women know when, you know, when's the right time to do their monthly self-home breast exam so they don't confuse those cysts that you might get with your cycle messed up with what might be breast cancer?
Right. Well, the thing is, I usually recommend women 2 weeks after you have your period is when you should examine your breast. And women who are in the menopause, I tell them the first of the month. It's the first of the month I'm going to do my examination.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of, you know, jars their memory. First of the month. So that's when's the best time.
Okay.
Dr. Katzen, so you were talking about the ultrasound, and also I know a lot of my patients are also, they're getting an MRI of their breast. Could you explain what the MRI is?
Well, the MRI machine, MRI is a method of imaging that doesn't use radiation, but it's a physical chemical method of imaging. And occasionally there'll be a lesion in the breast, and we're not sure. We don't maybe even have had a biopsy, and the pathologist is not sure what it is, but the MRI scanning has a very high negative predictive value. In other words, if the MRI has qualities that make the lesion look benign, or does not have features of a malignancy, then there's about a 90% assurance that this is not a malignancy.
Okay.
And so that's when we use MRI. Some people don't want to have a biopsy. Some ladies say, okay, you know, I've had lumps in my breast and people have recommended a biopsy and I've had biopsies before and, you know, it's not the... Or some people feel that, okay, you did a mammogram and it's negative, but I'm really scared.
Right.
You know, my mother had a cancer, my aunt had a cancer, my sister had a cancer, and I want that additional assurance. And that's another very strong indication for us to do MRI of the breast.
Well, that, and so you offer that service at your imaging center, the MRI, right?
Yes, we do.
And the ultrasound?
Yes, we do.
Okay, very good. And the mammogram?
And the CAD device.
And the CAD device. And the ultrasound, and you might find a few fishes somewhere, right?
Right.
Anyways, I'm waiting to hear from all of you here. I want to hear if you have any questions. This is very, very interesting because I think a lot of patients are, especially women, are scared. They get scared when they feel a lump, and they want the answers now, yesterday. I know I'm like that a lot of times. So what do you recommend in terms of when you should get the MRI of the breast?
Well, I usually will only recommend an MRI of the breast if we are uncertain about the other modalities. Remember that mammography doesn't show all the cancers. About 10% of the cancers are invisible on mammography. That is just a very difficult thing for us to accept. People can have a lump that we can see on ultrasound and not see on mammography. And in that situation particularly, then MRI is very, very helpful in trying to resolve an issue for a patient.
Well, as women, we're told, you know, to get our mammograms, and I've always thought that was 100% sure. That it saw and caught 100% of everything.
It's very difficult in medicine to have 100%. But the fact of the matter is that there are some cancers that we just don't see.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, at the Triana Prevention Center, we really emphasize early detection and prevention. And I know one of the risk factors for breast cancer, too, is obesity, being overweight. Do you know of any other recommendations that you would like to speak about?
No, I think if somebody, particularly if somebody has a discharge from the breast, we've seen several patients this year who've had a discharge of the breast, who've had negative mammograms, and have had positive MRIs.
So then, in other words, they need to continue with their physician to go the next step.
That's correct.
Well, that's very important. And as I said, we've been recommending at the Triana Prevention Center a healthy lifestyle with diet, exercise, and also to reduce the risk of heart attack and stroke, but also to be proactive about other health issues such as breast health. And we're very lucky to have someone as of your caliber here, Dr. Katzen, who's been here since 1969. Right?
Right. And there were dinosaurs on the street then.
Well, I grew up in Charlotte County here my whole life, and I remember when 41 was a two-lane road.
Right.
There was no I-75 or anything. So, Dr. Katzen, could you explain to us about biopsying or needle localization? What does that mean?
Well,
to our audience.
If something is found in the breast that needs to be removed, then the best thing to do is to take it out. But there are little tiny lesions that we see in the breast, much too small to feel. After all, the whole idea in mammography is to find cancers that are too small to feel. And in fact, you can see cancers usually 2 years or 3 years before they can be felt. And so maybe there's just a few accumulations of some calcium in the breast, and we want to take a sample of that. And for that, we would use what they call a stereotactic needle biopsy. In other words, we would localize those needles in the breast and localize those unusual calcifications in the breast and put a needle into them and suck the tissue out.
And do you do that at your facility in conjunction with, what, using ultrasound? So you're watching what you're doing?
Well, you know, can't usually see the calcium on ultrasound. So this has to be done with an X-ray device, mm-hmm. called a stereotactic localizer, so to speak. Yes.
And it can be done right there at your
correct.
Facility.
Well, Dr. Katzen, you were talking about calcifications. And we had discussed before, and I want everyone to remember this, that when a mammogram is done, you can also see calcifications in the blood vessels, in the arteries, which is an indication of vascular disease, right?
That's correct. And when I see that, I usually will report that these vessels are calcified, and that is an indication of diffuse arteriosclerosis.
Right. So everyone should really, at a young age, know and be aware about this.
That's correct.
Not just patients who are older and know that could be a red flag.
Because we can see, looking at a blood vessel is looking at a blood vessel. If you look at it in the neck or in the eye or in the heart, it's still a blood vessel. And if there's the process, the arteriosclerotic process is going on in one part of the body, chances are it's going on in another.
Dr. Triana, if there are women out there who maybe are new to our community and don't have a family physician but are very concerned about breast cancer and want to get a mammogram, do they need to first establish to get a script to be able to go to and get a mammogram, or can they just show up at a facility like yours, Dr. Katzen, and ask for one?
Well, the Florida law provides that a woman can go into can have a mammogram without a physician's order.
Well, that's good to know.
Well, then the real problem then is, what do you do with the report?
Oh, that's.
I mean, supposing you find something, then where are you? I mean, so it's really not the why. I know it can be done. A woman has the right to do that, mm-hmm. but they should have at least a physician partner to be able to discuss the findings with.
Yes, I think it's very important that you establish with a family physician for your health care needs. And as a family physician who also is a lipidologist, and I also have many female patients, and I take care of patients mm-hmm. pre and postmenopausal.
And you are accepting new patients?
Yes, I am. I'm accepting new patients and very happy. I have a wonderful staff.
If somebody is interested in becoming a new patient, like I have done, I've become a new patient of yours. They can just call the Triana Prevention Center at
625-1990 and speak to my wonderful ladies who work with me. I have a great team.
They're wonderful.
Oh.
They're very nice. You know, everybody is so friendly and helpful, and you get the sense that they really care about you.
Well, that's what we feel. We give personal attention. You always see the same physician, you always see the same staff, and you know, patients get attached to the staff, mm-hmm. not just to me, and it's a really wonderful environment.
It really is. I really feel very comfortable when I'm at your office, and my time spent with Pat, mm-hmm. your wonderful nurse, she is just incredible.
Oh, yes. I tell you, I'm just very lucky and very blessed. And I think also I'm very lucky to have a wonderful radiologist, because Dr. Katzen, he gives his cell phone out to all the doctors. If you as a physician have a question, you can call Dr. Katzen and he will answer you. For example, if I have a patient who has a problem, I said, what do you feel is the best imaging modality to get to the bottom of this question? And he will discuss it. And if you have any questions, mm-hmm. physicians can call him and ask him. And he also will call you if you want a report right away. And the imaging center will also do same-day service, which Dr. Katzen has had women go there and go through and have a mammogram and even have an MRI And the staff will stay late so that that woman will go home with peace of mind.
That's very important. And I don't think that happens that often anymore, where you can get in and be seen and taken care of and know the results that day.
Yes. And so that is a wonderful service that we have available here in our community, which to me as a physician, it's adding to your team.
As a very valuable tool for you.
Yes, it's adding to my team. So, Dr. Katzen, thank you so much. We really appreciate you coming. And again, next week we'll be here to talk about the slippery slope of lipids, and we're going to talk about sex and cholesterol.
Thanks for having me here.
Thank you for listening to The Slippery Slope of Lipids, hosted by Charlotte County's own Dr. Elizabeth Triana. For more information on the topics discussed here today, call the Triana Prevention Center at 941-625-1990.